back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Fadley's. We're at the old Lexington Market. It's the only thing left of the old Lexington Market. I need to use the bathroom upstairs. It's like a time capsule back here. Everything else is shut down. New Market's this way. Going to be opening real soon. But we are here on behalf of the Maryland Lottery. I got some scratch-offs to give away. We're having some fun and letting ourselves play down here. We're going to be at the Gunpowder Lodge next week doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And I see the crab cakes. They're pulling them out right now.
Pulling them out.
All brought to you by our friends at Goodwill as well. It's a Halloween season. Make sure you're getting out there shopping. We'll talk some job development. And we're going to talk some health in this segment as well. My health has gotten better since Window Nation put in all my windows about 8-9 weeks ago now. Windows up, windows down, fresh air. Even got my carpets clean the other day.
Ooh.
Some people do spring cleaning, man. I'm doing like fall cleaning with my friends at Goodwill, right? Felicia Porter is here. She's the good councilwoman from our city. And, you know, so I'm trying to figure out where 13 and 14 and 11 and 12 and 10 and 9. Tell everybody about your district. And I know for anybody that was at Pigtown Festival over the weekend, they saw that you were victorious on many fronts.
Yes, so I am proud to represent District 10 in South Baltimore. So it's the 13 communities from Pigtown all the way down to Curtis Bay and all the way west to Gwens Falls. And so it's a very large district. It's one of the larger districts in the city. But it's a different flavor down in South Baltimore, and I like it. You know, I've been serving since 2020, and so it has been such an awesome opportunity to serve South Baltimore and the different flavors in South Baltimore. Like you mentioned, we have the Pigtown Festival. We have the Morrill Park Fest that's coming up. Like, so it's so many different flavors in South Baltimore, and I'm just so grateful and honored to serve.
I'm going to fix your cord here
sure.
So you're not in a mess here. All right, pull your hair. I don't want to mess your hair up, man, because you're a girl. All right, there you go. All right, there you go. Now we're fixed up. Because I couldn't stare at you like that. Something was screwed up with me, and the friend didn't tell me.
I don't want to do
that. And man, I'm like,
yeah, you can't do that.
You let me sit there. You know what it was? I had something taped in my head.
Ah.
It was something taped on this side of my head. I picked something up, and I had a sticker.
Oh.
And my guest didn't tell me when the whole thing was over. I was like, I thought we were friends, man.
I know, you're my friend.
I found it at the end to be like one of these things on my head. All right, so we're here at Fadley's. I've had an hour with Odette Ramos about all sorts of issues, and I guess I'll pull that back out for the listeners and every key issue. But let's just start with this. Sort of new, and Odette's sort of new, and you talk about women and empowerment.
Yes.
How's it going for you? I mean, I haven't seen Brandon in a while, but for all of you, murder numbers down a little bit, right? I mean, we're getting back to some normalcy. Kids back at school.
Yes.
Ravens are doing okay.
Ravens and the Orioles
are going to be okay.
Yeah, Orioles
so,
are
like,
amazing.
I'm feeling a little prosperity.
Yes.
Am I allowed to feel prosperous about Baltimore?
Positive. You are. I am. And I think everyone should be feeling Baltimore positive. Like, there's so much that's happening in Baltimore. Murder numbers aside, there's so much that's happening in Baltimore over the next 4 to 5 years that is drastically going to change it for the residents that have been living here for generations, especially in Odette's district and my district. There's so much economic development. There's so much kind of momentum growing of people coming to Baltimore, staying in Baltimore, and really putting on for Baltimore. Like, I'm a Baltimore native, born and raised. I grew up in Emerson Village in District 8. And so I love Baltimore. And so,
have you lived anywhere else?
I have not.
You know,
I have traveled, but I've always come back to Baltimore.
I've been all over the world, but I have never lived.
No.
And not even for like 30 days. You know, not even like spent a summer abroad.
No.
I mean, I go all over the world, but I come back.
I do too.
Take a piece of it with me.
I do too. I travel about 4 times a year internationally. And so the reason why I do that is because I love to see different cultures and different things internationally as far as policy, government, and how we can execute it back here in Baltimore. And I always come back to Baltimore. My heart is in Baltimore. My family's in Baltimore. I've born, raised, and educated in Baltimore.
Well, all right. So you run, you get in.
Yes.
Give me some changes. I mean, you talk about the next 4 or 5 years. Talk about progress. I mean, I guess you feel it when you're at a festival last weekend in your own district.
Yes.
Because these were the things we weren't doing a couple years ago.
We were not.
COVID and the perception of the city and the realities. I moved out of the city this year. I'm not proud of that or what. I mean, Johnny O is, but, you know, because I went out to the county. But for me, it wasn't even about where I was going to live. We sold our place in the city, and we just found the best situation for us.
Yes.
I'm in Lexington Market right now. I'm down here. It's the third time this week I've been down here.
Yes.
And so I love the city, and I don't feel like there's any boundary about Woodlawn versus Dundalk, Towson versus Curtis Bay, or over the line in Anne Arundel County. I mean, we're all all sort of in this together, and I think to chop it up in that way is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you mentioned District 8's where I grew up, but, you know, that's not where I am right now, right?
I mean, and the only reason why I say that is because when you have a council person, I think the council is in a position where we are really advocating for what's best for our district. So the only reason why I'm saying in District 8, District 10, District 14, is that, you know, the council people, all 14 of us, do such a great job with spearheading leadership advocacy for our own districts. For example, you ask some of the things that's going to be happening across the city and Baltimore City proper. I know 5 projects in District 10 that are just drastically going to change the generational narrative of how people view South Baltimore.
Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Let's go.
So we have our first one. We have our Middle Branch Wellness and Recreational Center. It's a $33 million recreational center that's being built in Cherry Hill. It's world-renowned, state-of-the-art. It's something that has not been done before. That is something that the current administration, along with my office, have been spearheading on behalf of the community, on behalf of South Baltimore. We will have not only recreation and parks, recreational programming in there, but we'll also have programs that span the lifespan. So we're talking about early childhood education all the way to our seniors. That is something that has not been done before in South Baltimore, and that's one of the major, major projects that we're doing in South Baltimore. We have
Tom Cole's here.
Yes,
right.
Hello, Tom Cole.
What's up,
good
Tom
to see
Cole?
You.
She's on project one. She's got 5.
We have the resurgence of our community gardens. We have 3 community gardens in. We have 3 community gardens in South Baltimore that are not only changing the narrative of food sovereignty and food access in Baltimore. Currently in South Baltimore, we don't have any supermarkets that are near neighborhoods. So as you can understand, that causes a great public health disparity for my communities in District 10. And so we are galvanizing, we are organizing our community gardens so that we can provide those opportunities of
I
food
love
access.
That.
Yeah,
so,
we're doing internally.
First time I saw that was in Detroit.
Yep, you
I
got
saw,
it.
I saw a Detroit thing and a picture of it, and it was this lush sort of garden that was tended, and I'm thinking, oh, they're feeding the community.
Yes.
What a pilgrim kind of idea that was. Really came up with that like a long time. That's why we've been doing it forever and ever and ever, right?
But we're really putting the staple of those community gardens and making it a formalized plan. Making it a formalized plan that can benefit all of Baltimore City. That's you know, South Baltimore, you know, historically has not been thought about in those terms. And so I am creating the vision that South Baltimore is going to be impactful to the entire city of Baltimore.
Why'd you run? I mean, you were very much into health and human concerns. And I mean, the last time I talked to you, COVID was blaring. And you're one of those people in that space telling people to roll your sleeves up and get a shot. By the way, I did a piece on flu shots this week with Wise Markets with Rick Sipe. So get your flu shot.
Yes.
I'm halfway rolled up at this point. So, but on public health and that being your concern, what led you to politics?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that you grew up thinking you were going to do this, right?
So I did, actually. So I knew that I was going to be in the policy sphere. I just didn't know where. So growing up, I've always wanted to be a physician. And so I understood.
That's different than being a politician.
But I'm going to tell you where it changed at. So it changed when I went to graduate school at Morgan State University. And I realized that policy is where true public health change comes into play. When we're talking about funding, when we're talking about resource, when we're talking about really governmental systems that impact public health.
Like education.
Like education.
Like
transportation.
Telling people the importance of getting a COVID
like
shot
transportation.
So we can put an end to that
There
crap.
You go. Right. And so I knew that I had to have a seat at the table in the city of Baltimore. I'm the first public health practitioner to be on the Baltimore City Council. And during COVID, I was able to help spearhead a lot of that policy, a lot of that dialogue and conversation, not only with our community-based organizations, but with our hospitals to make sure that we are navigating, we're navigating through this pandemic. And the administration. I spoke with Mayor Scott about some of those recommendations, and he actually implemented a few of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've known him a while.
I have.
He wanted to be everything to everybody. He sat here. The first interview he ever really did running for mayor was right here.
Oh, nice.
It was kind of trying him out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He was like sort of new city council president.
Yes.
The mayor thing was a mess and all that. He sat here, and Don Moeller, I love Don. You know, Don's been my partner forever. I never forget Brandon walking out that door Fro was flying, you know, he's slight, he walks out. Don's like, yeah, he's a nice kid, he can't win. And I'm thinking, okay, that's where the experts are on this.
Yeah.
They said that about Trump, too, right?
They did.
So, you know,
but they
can't
also
win and all that. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, so he wins now, and he's in, and
yes,
obviously comes in the middle of the play. And I haven't.
Yes.
I talked to Brandon maybe about 8 weeks ago. We ran into each other at a elbow bump. Hey, how you doing? But, like, the last time we were on the show was April.
Yes.
So, I mean, we were
still COVID. Very different
really
times.
Weird.
Yes.
It was so much has changed. I feel the change here through the summer.
Yes.
And I really feel it pulling up here on my birthday in October.
Yes.
By the way, Damie wants to bring the crab cakes.
Oh.
But she knows she's interrupting my train of thought and I'll never go back. So bring it in.
Yay.
Here's your birthday cake.
Look at this.
This is nice. Thank you.
She brought me the cucumbers too, man.
No.
So, you know, we're getting it honest here. I don't even know what the hell I was talking about now. I'm distracted. What was I even talking about?
We were talking about Mayor Scott.
Mayor Scott, right.
And so, during COVID.
And just taking over during a really...
Yes, very difficult.
I mean, talk about Joe Biden taking the country over after an insurrection that was planted, planned, trying to pull out of Afghanistan. I mean, all that. I mean, Brandon had a mess here, you know? And I thought about running for mayor. I think you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, and had Sheila won, I was going to jump in a lane and swim. And I don't, you know what I'm doing as a politician, but I know what I'm doing as a citizen.
Yes.
And I don't listen to people.
Yes, you listen to people.
You know, listen to people.
It's the first step.
So for him, and progress comes from 14 districts,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
And it comes from not giving you everything you want or you know, or being too close with you or too adverse to them.
Yes.
But it comes from compromise.
Yes, it comes from compromise and advocacy. You know, one of the things
can
that
I eat while you talk? Because you're a really good talker, and I'm a really good eater. So,
one of the things that I often, you know, share with people, there are 14 council medic districts across the city, and many people just think it's the quick, you know, the quickness and the snap of a finger where things can get done. And we as the council, we are handling generations and decades long of issues that have long plagued Baltimore. We're talking about resource allocation. We're talking about equity of resources all across Baltimore City, not just in those that people, you know, not just in our downtown areas, not just in our areas where historically resources have always gone. So areas like South Baltimore, it is just out of this world, the resources allocations, the advocacy, the compromise of majority of our projects down in South Baltimore that are actually getting implemented from decades long of advocacy.
Well, we're about to have a change in Annapolis.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that in regard to crime, in regard to public safety, you know, transportation, and I'll give you this one just because, it, you know, I sit and talk to people all day. We had Larry Hogan on a year and, I don't know, 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And Mueller and he got after each other pretty good. And I wasn't refereeing it, but it would have been a different conversation for me because it was more like politician to politician than Larry having to answer to me. And right? So, but Don pinned him down on a red line.
Yes.
And he looked at Don like Don had three heads. And he's like, I ran on killing the red line. I won. I killed the red line. And I'm like, okay, well, Wes is running on stuff.
Yes.
And Brandon ran on some stuff that you can get done.
Yes.
And some stuff that you need a lot of help from, right?
Yes.
And after what has happened with COVID and the country and money and cities and decay and storefronts, and we did housing with
Odette. We did housing,
for an hour.
And even healthcare. Our healthcare institutions are changing.
Everything's changed about healthcare and the cost of healthcare.
Yes.
As a human cost, when you talk about why you got involved in healthcare, as much as housing's there and food and water and whatnot,
if you don't have a healthy people, you have nothing.
I mean, what we're up against in this country over the next 30, 40 years in regard to the privatization of pharma and regular people like my wife getting cancer twice and eating $2.4 million to keep her alive out of the system.
Thank
She's
God.
Alive.
Thank God.
Right? But, you know, 155 nights in the hospital, transplants, all that. She was like super healthy until she ran into the burning building in 9/11 in New York and got cancer 15 years later. But for people that are aging, my mother was 98 years old. My mother was so caught up in the Medicare, Medicaid, like all of that over in East Baltimore.
Yes.
And, you know, getting a $50 a month check from Bethlehem Steel.
Yes.
I live that life.
Yes.
I understand what that's about.
No, I live that life as well. Yes.
I'm not
patting
myself on my back. My mother was lucky to have me and other people to help her.
Yes.
And I'm wondering who is that little old lady, that little old man over in your district that doesn't have much beyond you and a couple of neighbors maybe to keep an eye on them.
No, you're exactly right. And that's actually the majority of my district. So when we're talking about low-income seniors, we have about 30 to 40% of our of my district is persons over 55 years of age. So when we're talking about living in place, when we're talking about making sure that seniors have not only food access but also healthcare access, that's what my daily life is every day as a city councilwoman. Sure, not only that we have the resources, but that we have the advocacy and the policy to impact those systems that positively impacts those that not necessarily are connected with city government. So we're talking about that senior citizen that is living every day, not connected to our senior care facilities, living at home and starving. Literally starving. And so it's my job to kind of impact and really get out there to help those individuals. We also have the single mother that, you know, has multiple children that is working 9 to 9 every single day. 9 to 9 every single day, making sure that we have recreational resources for our children so that she is able to work. And so
I just wraparound programs for kids in the city and
wraparound
for
Yes.
I mean, I lived a different life coming into my mother having food ready for me and my dad coming back from the point. That was hard enough.
Yes.
But it was a good American life.
It's a different life now. It's a different life. We have many children that are going to school and coming home to school alone because their mom and dads are at work. But then that's where we need to talk about workforce development here in the city, where, you know, one person should only have to have one job in order to survive and thrive in this city, where you have people that have multiple jobs and still can't pay their bills and buy food, nutritious food.
Minimum wage going up over the last couple of years. How much is that? I mean, so in your district, I think that's an incredible impact.
So I will tell you, I don't know if it's gotten the impact that we think it has. So here's the opportunity here. When minimum wage, we were talking about it about 3 to 5 years ago, was at $15 per hour. We know now that in the average city, it's about $21 in order to afford to live here. So, you know, this is the, you know, this is what Councilwoman Ramos and I were talking about. We need policy to be much more urgent and expedient so that we are matching the actual real life issues that people are living every single day.
Inflation is real, and we're down here at Fadley's. Please come down, support local. They are open here at the original Lexington Market, the new market's about 80 yards that way. There's about half a block down the street, and still going to be here through the end of the year. Obviously, you can order these delicious crab. Can I just say that she brought this over?
I know. I'm super excited.
It's going to steer the conversation. Now, you've been to Fadley's many times.
I have been to Fadley's many times.
So, steering the conversation toward the crab cake, just in general, I've had a lot of crab cakes.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. And a lot of people come to me about crab cakes. Where's the best one?
Yes.
Where's this one? And I can't give like a best. I just give like a, it's like a little bit of a, it's a pass fail.
It is.
But it's a high bar.
It is a very high bar.
It's a high bar.
Me too.
But
yeah.
It's pass fail.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, this is so unique,
yes.
Right? So when people say to me, "Where, you know," because I have sponsors. I mean,
yes.
Costas and Pappas and Conrad's and places
Coco's.
I'm going. One of the reasons I did this tour was to go out and because I only was eating a Fadley's crab. I was only eating one kind of crab cake.
Yes.
So and it opened conversation up all over the state.
Yes.
You know, I've had crab cakes in Cumberland. I've had them in Cambridge. I've had them with Damie's. The folks that deliver this delicious crab meat,
yes.
Right? You know, I've gone to the facilities. We've talked about H2B workers
okay.
with Ben Card.
Yes, wonderful.
And
wonderful,
how
yes.
this crab cake,
this.
Where this comes
where
from.
Where this come from.
How many crabs?
Yes.
Like, we talk about this stuff all
yes.
the time around
yes.
here. But then there's the deliciousness of me coming in and actually doing this.
Yes.
And I'm trying to be...
I'm going to eat where you're
going. Go ahead. You eat. I'll
yes.
talk. I'm good at talking. You're good at eating. Let's do this, okay? And then you can be good at talking while I'm going to eat. I'm not a deviled eggs person, so they're both yours.
Okay, good.
My mom really always made them, and I don't like deviled eggs. So for me, with this crab cake, and the this is...
Perfection.
It's just so good. But more than that, I've learned, you go in a place, they give you cocktail, or they give you tartar,
yes.
or they give you a remoulade. I love a remoulade.
Yes.
Here... it's the tomatoes
yes.
with the vinegary thing
yep.
and the little onions
yes.
and the vinaigrette thing that makes this and the mustardy
yes.
thing.
Right inside.
Mm. And the light friedness.
Yes.
No offense, but like I've eaten a lot of broiled crab cakes.
Yes. It's a difference.
It's not my choice.
It's a difference.
It's not my... It's,
hello.
I love a broiled crab cake.
Yes.
But, So get down here. So we're going to get back to more important.
No worries. This is important.
Issues.
This is important.
This is important.
This is important. It's almost. I've been up since 5. It's almost lunchtime.
What is your favorite part of Baltimore? What do you love about Baltimore?
You know, I love the.
I
love the resiliency in Baltimore. When I tell you, the Baltimore has a grit and resiliency that is unmatched anywhere that I've ever been in the nation and in the world. And that's what I love about Baltimore. You know, Baltimore is always bounce back. We're always bounce back.
On the morning after the Nancy Pelosi video services, I think my most recent tweet, if you go, I retweeted her talking about punching Trump.
Yeah.
And I wrote, all I wrote was, I retweeted, I wrote, East Baltimore.
East Baltimore, yes.
That's what I wrote. And I'll own that.
Yeah, but it's a grit and resiliency that you know, we just have here. We always bounce back. We always are on top. We're always on top. Regardless of what happens in our neighborhoods, regardless of what happens in our city, we are always on top. And that is why, that's what I choose to lean into. When I think about who I am, it is not all the education, you know, the 5 degrees that I've gotten. It is not well traveled. It is that I am from Baltimore. And it is a grit and resiliency and a nonstop, unforgivable, you know, just... cultural connection to my people and to my city. That is what I lean into of who I am.
Well, that's why I created Baltimore Positive, to sit and talk to other people, and it would open up conversations, because I've traveled the world too, and I see things when I'm places, and I'm like, why can't we have that? Why can't we? We have that.
We
don't need Central Park. We got Patterson Park, right? You know what I mean? So when I start to think about, I was in Amsterdam earlier this summer, and I see those canals, and I see the water, and I see the love of the waterway, and I see the architecture, and the brick, and the stone, and the...
We have that here.
We have that here.
Yes. You know, for instance, in my district, Middle Branch, we have a kayaking club.
I know this.
And so, you know, when people talk about...
My wife is paddleboarding.
Okay, good, yeah.
My wife's done flo-yo.
Okay.
With Jesse over there.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife gets on the board.
Yes.
She does her thing in the morning.
And so, we have those things. You know, when we're going to other cities and we're like, you know, I want this in my city. The issue is we have this in our city. We just need to celebrate it in our city. We need to celebrate it. I mean, people come from around the world.
To eat this,
our crabs.
Yeah.
To experience our city, to experience our port, to experience our waterways. Like, we have this here. And we need to celebrate it. And I think we are celebrating it. I think, like you said, there's a junction. We are turning a corner here in Baltimore where the momentum is building of the positivity that's happening in Baltimore, despite what, you know, some news medias may say. And we understand that there are issues here in the city of Baltimore, but there's also positive things that are happening in the city of Baltimore as well.
What do you want people to know about public safety and crime and what they see on Fox 45?
Yeah.
And murder rate, it's up, it's down, it's always been up, it's down a little bit.
Yes.
Everybody, all the politicians want to crow. That's good. What's being done and what's being done differently than maybe what you found when you were on the campaign trail?
Sure. So what's being done differently, I will tell you, is that we are really getting a much more robust community engagement perspective related to public safety. So we're not just enforcing. Enforcement is very important. We need to have our public safety agencies enforcing on crime. I'm not saying that. But what I'm talking about is in the community engagement in the school systems, conflict mediation and harm reduction in the schools. So teaching people how to resolve conflict before it gets to the streets. We are elevating family infrastructures whereby, you know, we have wellness. We have wellness checks into family. Baltimore City Public Schools provides wellness checks to families and individuals to say, hey, something's happening.
That's better than just a nurse.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Something's happening. And, you know, the wellness team not just includes healthcare delivery. It includes a therapist. It includes a social worker.
It includes my 8-year-old saw a murder this morning or saw something awful.
And
saw
it's trauma. And trauma. And so, like, we are really looking at it from a different perspective. And I think it's really important to highlight that, because everyone's like, oh, you know, this is something that can be changed overnight. But what I tell people, we can do both and. We don't have to just do one thing. And so we don't just have to enforce. We can do both and, where we are supporting individuals, we are supporting mental health, we are supporting the reduction of trauma, but we are also enforcing on those crimes as well. We can do both and. We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
I had never met her until 20 minutes ago. We're having first conversation, crab cakes, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I got birthday cake, birthday cocktails. When's a bar open, Damie? I need to know that. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. Got some Raven scratch-offs. All the councilwomen get away, Raven scratch-off. Tom Colton, scratch-off for you. Damie, scratch-off for you. Billy, scratch-off for you. Everybody's getting one around here. Our friends at Goodwill, of course. What about jobs programs?
Yes.
And I talk to Lisa Rossini about this all the time, as well as show off my belt buckle. The belt buckle today is for you, Tom Colton. I wore Blue Oyster Colt. You got any Blue Oyster Colt? Yeah, absolutely. But I taught jobs programs, but it's Halloween season. I'm doing the Aladdin Sane.
Nice.
So I'm going to be doing a little bit of shopping after I gifted and gave to Goodwill last month. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I've got some fresh air. I got beautiful screens. My cat loves it. Looking at the birds out the beautiful windows now. So we're very, very appreciative of all that.
Yes.
I guess last thing for you, your district and things like the weekend. When Odette Ramos was here, you guys were talking about pie eating and a festival.
Yes.
When I think of Baltimore, and God rest Mayor Schaefer, Governor Schaefer, for the city fair.
Yes.
We're a city of neighborhoods, and throwing down a Fells Point Festival, throwing down a Pigtown Festival, throwing down a Hamden. You had yours this weekend, right?
Yes, we have multiple in District 10.
Let's talk about it.
Yes, so we just had the Pigtown Festival this past weekend, but I'd also like to highlight, you know, the Cherry Hill Waterfront and Arts and Music Festival. So that is a premier festival where people all around the nation come to South Baltimore to throw an outdoor concert.
Yeah. I'm coming next year.
Yeah, you should come next year. They got food.
I'm there.
We got real food. And so, real good food. And so, you know, Youth Resiliency Institute, which is a nonprofit in Cherry Hill, puts on this festival every year, and it highlights and centers on South Baltimore. It centers on the preservation and legacy of South Baltimore. The mayor attended this year. We had our fireworks displayed there this year. So it is... By far, so South Baltimore is coming up on the rise. I will say that South Baltimore is coming up on the rise. We are really just celebrating the legacy and just redefining the narrative down there.
Well, I tell you what, I'm coming down. I felt bad about the well, I tell people there's a pig town here. They're like, there's no such thing. I'm like, yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
And it's nice.
It is beautiful in pig town. It is beautiful. It's beautiful in pig town. It's one of my, you know, I currently live in pig town, and it was one of the things, you know, if I could live anywhere in the city, I knew that I had to be in a place where I felt at home. Where I had people come out of their homes and say hello
to
me.
It's hard to say I'm proud of my hometown.
Oh my gosh, I'm proud of my hometown.
There you go.
I am. I'm proud of it. And we have, again, we have a culture and a resiliency down in South Baltimore that is just out of this world. And so it's where I felt most at home, and that's why I ran. I feel most at home in my district. I advocate largely, you know, across the city for my district.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm having cake. On my birthday, it's crab cake here. You had pie over the weekend.
I did.
What kind of pie was this?
I did. It was a chocolate.
You say pie to me with that tumble kind.
It was a chocolate mousse pie. And here's
that's
the
not
thing.
Even like real pie.
No, but it was real pie. So we had a pie eating
that's
contest
not like real pie.
At the Pigtown Festival. It was four guys, including Democratic nominee Wes Moore, and I was the only girl.
And did everybody eat chocolate?
Everyone ate chocolate, and
okay.
I beat them all. So we had to eat the pie with no hands. So I beat them all.
Is that a Pigtown thing?
I don't know if it's a Pigtown thing, but it was the rules, and we did it, and we survived. That is what I'm talking about.
That
we put on for
like
our district.
It sounds like a camp trick.
It is.
It sounds like summer camp.
It is. But yes, I'm super, super proud. I was the winner of the pie eating contest. I said, you can't come down to South Baltimore and not have me put on for my district.
Well, before I can bring Tom Colton here, you want to give a shout out on Wes Moore?
I do.
Because I had Wes on about a month and a half ago.
Yes.
It's been fascinating to watch this election cycle,
yes.
Right? Because I mean, I had Ehrlich in my studio 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
People think, oh, he's all new to politics. Nah, man, I've had politicians on forever.
You have.
And a day. You know, this feels like a little bit of a different thing that's
it
about
is.
To happen.
It
and
is.
I feel like it's a good thing for Baltimore.
It is.
And everybody in Baltimore should celebrate
this.
And, like, I voted for Hogan once. I'm not anti-Larry, even though I've become more anti-Larry, like, over the course of time. Because of the neglect of Baltimore. And that's not my opinion. That's appeasing a voting base that is now so fractured that he couldn't get elected. And we're going to talk, Barry Glassman's going to be here in a little while. We're going to talk about right and left. We're going to talk about all that.
Mm-hmm.
But Wes, presumed winner, I mean, I have no idea that Maniac could win. I'll talk to Tom about that for half an hour. But for Wes, what does that mean for South Baltimore?
Oh, my gosh. It means incredible, incredible economic development for the city of Baltimore and also South Baltimore. When we're talking about a Democratic governor that understands that Baltimore, if you don't have Baltimore, you really don't have the economic vitality that you think you have throughout the rest of the state.
It's like, the economic engine
it
of the
is
state.
Baltimore is it. And so when you have a governor that really understands that, our education system increases, our small businesses increases, Fade Lease, you know, the economic development of our small businesses, been here for 100 years, that increases. Our public safety decreases. We're reducing those murder numbers all across Baltimore City. That is what it means to have Wes Morris governor. When we have a governor that understands and really prioritizes the issues all across the state, but more importantly, understanding where there needs to be a little bit more oomph. You know, Baltimore needs a little bit more oomph.
Listen,
we
I
need
sat
that.
Next to the current
yeah, we
governor,
need that.
14 months ago over a crab kick down at the Boatyard in Annapolis, and he said, I ran on killing the red line, I killed the red line. And I'm thinking, so what did that mean for Baltimore?
Yes, what did that mean for Baltimore?
What did that mean
it
for the state?
It was devastating.
What did that mean for even somebody in Cumberland that wants to come into Baltimore and go to a ball
game? Yes, it was devastating.
It's ideological.
Yes,
I get it.
We can agree to disagree.
I'll be here agreeing to disagree with Barry Glassman in about a half an hour. Probably have another clap before it's all over with. But and I'll talk to Tom a little bit more about this. But it would be nice to have like some sort of a civil conversation on the other side of the
aisle. That is true.
That way.
And here's the thing. You know, I have a lot of experience in that. South Baltimore is one of the more conservative districts in Baltimore City. So I have a very conservative base that I support. So me being a liberal Democrat, understanding that we have to have a civil conversation to find to find common ground, that is how you get things done. And Wes does that. We don't need somebody that exists in the extremes. Because when you're in the extremes, conversations stop and nothing happens for the regular citizen that's going to work every day, the regular student that's going to school every day. Nothing is happening. We need a governor that can go across lines.
All right, next time we come together, we're just going to do nothing but public health.
Okay.
Because I swore we're going to do that. Instead, we've had a crab cake.
Yes.
And hey, thank you for coming
down. Thank you.
It's really nice to meet you.
Yes.
I admire your work. I follow you out on these social places and all of that, so keep up the good work.
Thank you. Right? And happiest birthday.
Oh, it's how could I?
You got to go to cake.
The bar's almost open. I'll be happy. I think Cole's going to get that thrust upon him.
Okay, good.
Tom Cole's going to be joining us here. We're going to elevate things around here in a little bit. Felicia Porter is bringing the bar up. By the way, I would say this. You could say a lot of things about Westmore, but he doesn't live in your district.
He doesn't. Not yet.
So I had that going on in the first hour. Deb Ramos was here. Big appreciation to her. Big appreciation to Councilwoman Felicia Porter as well. Barry Glassman's going to be here. Damie's here. She's serving me crab cakes. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have not had enough water here today. I got a little water in my Maryland Lottery hat, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We're back for more down here at Fadley's in Lexington Market, the old market.
The
new market. We're moving out to Catonsville with Fadley's. We're doing it all. Back for more right after this. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us.